Thank you for listening to this week's sermon podcast by Dr. John Hanna. It is our hope and prayer that you will be encouraged in your faith and in your walk with Jesus. For more information, please go to springfieldchurch.org. Here now is the most recent message.
Take your New Testaments and turn with me to the Gospel of John, John chapter 20. I'm so glad we sang that song, Because He Lives. Amen. Because we are still, well, not only is it an incredible song, but we are still in the Easter season. The Easter season runs from Easter Sunday until Pentecost, which this year is May 24th, which also happens to be Altarsgate Sunday, which I'm very excited about, and I'll explain all that on May 24th. But we are still in the Easter season. I want to build, if I can, if it's possible, a little bit on Pastor Cindy's incredible Easter message 3 weeks ago. You know, if you were in church that Sunday, you heard the Easter story from Peter's perspective. And Cindy did a masterful job of explaining that for us. I don't know if you've noticed, as you read through the Gospels, sometimes we get differing perspectives on what happened that very first Easter. You know, Matthew has his take on it. Mark has his take on it. Luke has his take on it. And John has his take on it. And sometimes it can seem like some of the details just don't quite add up. So last night, if you were watching the news, and again this morning, you saw just this terrible, tragic event at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, which is just a horrible thing. You know, political violence in our country needs to stop. All violence needs to stop, actually. It doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you're on, but it just needs to stop. And I was here at the church, and I got a breaking news alert on my phone, and I watched the press conference, and then I went home and I watched some more of it, and just in disbelief that this is not only still happening, but it seems to be escalating. But what I also found very interesting was, you know, there were 2,500 people in that room. Thankfully, the president is okay, his administration is okay, everyone was okay. So thankfully, we're grateful that there were no injuries. But there were hundreds of journalists and reporters there. It's the correspondents' dinner. And I found it very interesting last night and again this morning as I was watching the news that as they were interviewing different journalists, the different journalists each gave their own perspective as to what occurred in that tragic event yesterday. And so you can be in the same room and experience something horrible like this and get a totally different perspective. And so they'd interview one journalist and they'd say, well, I thought I heard dishes breaking in the back. And then they will interview another journalist and they'll say, well, I wasn't quite sure what happened, but this is what I, you know. And so you get these differing perspectives as to what happened, even though they're all in the same room. And I think we can apply that same principle here to the resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus was a phenomenal event that people who witnessed it or experienced it in some form or fashion had a differing perspective on it on the same event. And that helps me as I go to read the Gospels and I read from Matthew's perspective or Mark's perspective or Luke's perspective or we hear from Peter's perspective. And so today I want to look at John's perspective a little bit. His perspective on what happened on that incredible event 2,000 years ago that helps us understand a little bit more this incredible thing that happened. So John chapter 20, I'm going to read the first 18 verses of John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, referring to himself, John, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen laying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen laying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Let us pray. Lord, this story never gets old. I pray it never becomes stale. I pray that every time we go to read this, that this incredible event becomes alive and captivates our hearts and keeps our faith strong and renewed in you. This is the greatest story ever told. And we now get to be a part of it. And yet, for some of us, and for maybe a lot of people around the world, this story has not yet captivated hearts and souls and minds. And I pray, Lord, that somehow the truth of what happened so many years ago will just captivate us like no other, and we will truly live as a resurrection people. And all God's people said, amen and amen. So like I said, if you weren't in church Easter 3 weeks ago, you missed out. If you weren't in this church, I hope you were in another church. But if you weren't in this church, wow, you missed out. Our worship team did an incredible job. And the Spirit of God was just overflowing. And this place was packed, you know. It was incredible. It was great to see. And of course, Pastor Cindy preached, and I'm not just saying this, but I believe a message that really sets a high bar for Easter sermons, that something I wish all homiletic students would listen to and really, really take to heart. It was just an absolutely phenomenal message. But you know who missed out more? All those people who were in church Easter Sunday and haven't been back to church. They are missing out week after week, day after day, because I'm convinced that the reality of the resurrection has not yet fully grasped and got a hold of them and really just taken them to a place where they begin to see the world in a whole different light. For many people, Easter is just an event. It's something that happened 2,000 years ago. Every year, it's something that we commemorate as a holiday. It comes and it goes, and it's just an event. And once that event is over, we just kind of move on with our lives. And that's what happens in American churches. Churches are packed on Easter Sunday, and then we just go back to normal, just as things are. I was talking to someone the Wednesday after Easter, so just 3 days after Easter, and they said to me, you know, Easter was just 3 days ago, but it seems like it was a long time ago. And I got to thinking about it, and they were right. Just 3 days removed from Easter, and we had just gotten back into our normal, mundane routine, that Easter just seemed like, you know, 3 months ago when it was, in fact, just 3 days earlier. And now, it's been 3 weeks since Easter Sunday. And how many of us have just gotten back to the same routine? The same ho-hum routine. And yet, if you stop and think about it, Easter was just 21 days ago. Even though it may seem like, you know, 6 months ago. Easter, for so many people, has just become an event. Now, here's the thing about that very first Easter. Yes, it was an event. It was a historical event, and it's documented for us not just once, but four times in our Bible, the four different perspectives of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And then certainly, of course, the Apostle Paul gives his commentary on that as well. And so it was an event. But it was an event that impacted every single person in the Easter story. We heard how it impacted Peter. And by the way, if you haven't heard that Easter sermon, go back to our website and listen to that Easter sermon. Because we heard so beautifully how it impacted Peter, it impacted John, all the disciples, impacted the Marys in the story. It was an event that completely upended everything. But it was more than just an event, in that it was also an experience to be lived. The reality of Easter is a new reality for us to enter into. Think of it this way. The Easter event should be like putting on a brand new pair of glasses through which now we see the world in a completely different way. And we can begin to see how God works in ways today, even today, in ways that we couldn't see before. So let me ask you this question. And I want you to think long and hard about it. Don't answer out loud. Just think to yourself long and hard about it. How do you personally know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that we read about here in the Gospels has truly not only impacted you, but changed you? Don't answer. Just think about it for yourself. How do you personally know that the resurrection of Jesus is truly impacting you now, day after day, moment after moment? Now, I'm going to get a little bit existential on you here today. Really, the only way we will truly, fully understand and experience and know the reality of the resurrection is that someday we as believers in Christ will have resurrected bodies. And in that moment, we'll look at our bodies and we'll look at each other and we'll go, wow, this resurrection thing really is real, right? But until that actual moment happens, how do you know here and now that the resurrection of Jesus is impacting you today, moment by moment by moment? Well, we can say, well, it's in the Bible. And yes, it's in the Bible. But the Bible is a collection of books that we read by faith. It's a faith document. And so by faith, we receive the historical record of the resurrection of Jesus, because none of us were there 2,000 years ago. Okay? You say, well, I know that Easter is real because we celebrate it every year, and that's true. We sing about it. But how do you know that you've actually put on resurrection glasses and live your life day after day, moment after moment, with this understanding that the resurrection of Jesus has so captivated you and is influencing you moment by moment by moment. Let me put it this way. The resurrection was an event to be experienced, but now, if the resurrection of Jesus has truly taken root in your heart, now the resurrection becomes more than just an event to be experienced. It is an experience to be evented. That may not make sense to you. I just came up with it, and so I kind of like it, but let me explain what I mean by that. The resurrection, if we are to live as a resurrection people who have been so captivated by the resurrection, if it's going to take root in our heart and in our lives today and influence how we live, the resurrection has so captivated us that we now live with an optimism that there is nothing that God cannot resurrect from the dead in our lives. That's how we know that the reality of the resurrection of Christ has so captivated us that there is now nothing that we have come to believe that God cannot influence and resurrect from the dead. Think of the most difficult situation you're going through in your life. Think of the most harrowing, dead-end, hopeless, lifeless situation that you are dealing with in your life right now. Could be a health issue. And the doctors have told you that's it. There's nothing more we can do. Kind of been a follower of, he was a senator. He's not anymore. Senator Ben Sasse. I believe he was out of Nebraska. Just a sharp guy. Years ago when he was in Congress, I would watch him on C-SPAN. This is how I knew I was officially becoming old. I would flip between ESPN and C-SPAN, you know. That's how you know you're becoming old. But I would watch Ben Sasse when he was in Congress. Smart guy. Republican out of Nebraska. Smart, articulate, intelligent guy. And I even thought to myself, I had some buddy friends of mine who thought, this guy could be president someday. But he resigned Congress and went to one major university in Florida to become their president. Several months ago, he was diagnosed with the highest stage pancreatic cancer and has since developed 5 other types of cancers. And I've seen some interviews of him, and they only gave him 3 to 4 months to live. He's still alive, but he's doing interviews. And to listen to him, and he's a man of faith, and to listen to him and his belief in God and his belief in that no matter what, I am in God's hands is so inspiring. This is a man who is living as a resurrection person, that regardless of what he's dealing with, and he's dealing with the worst of the worst, he has not given up hope in his Lord. Could be a relational issue that you're dealing with that just seems like it's hopeless. It could be a financial issue. Whatever issue you could think of that you think of is dead in the water, if you still live with the belief that Jesus Christ can come in and resurrect that situation, you live as a resurrected person. We live as a resurrected people. You live with this optimism that there is nothing that God cannot do. The two most impossible situations that I can think of are death, of course, pretty impossible, and the hope that the Ducks will ever win a national championship, right? We were at the spring game yesterday, and it was such a beautiful spring day, and Autzen was filled, and the crowd was into it, and had a wonderful time. But I watched the crowd, and I got to thinking, why do people go to Autzen, you know, during football season, week after week after week after week? It's because they believe that someday the Ducks will win a national championship, right? Now, if the world has that much optimism in worldly things, how much more should the people of God have optimism and hope in Jesus Christ, who was raised from the dead? I love that we sing, "Because He Lives." And Aura, thank you for signing that for us. That was beautiful. It's been years since someone has signed like that in church, and that was absolutely beautiful. And it makes me want to kind of learn sign language a little bit. Not that I'll ever be good at it, but Friday night I came here to the church. I had just mowed my mom's yard, and this last week was a pretty rough week for me, and I knew the worship team was practicing, so after I mowed the yard, I came here to the church, and I just kind of sat and listened to the worship team practice. And by the way, Tim, I don't think I'm out of line to say, if you need some Friday night worship, come to the church and just sit in the back and listen to the worship team practice. Now, that may change, you know, with some scheduling things, but I just sat and soaked in the worship and what was happening. And they practiced "Because He Lives." And as they were singing, this thought came to me. If I ran a suicide hotline and someone called that number, I'd want that song playing on the other end. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, no matter what I'm dealing with. Because that's what people do when they're at the end of the rope. They don't think they can face tomorrow. I have a friend who lives in another state, and he called me last week dealing with some suicidal tendencies. And I talked with him, and I prayed with him, and then I called his wife, and I said, please be aware of what's going on. He's doing better now. But because he lives, we can face tomorrow. And not only that, because he lives, we can deal with our past, we can live in the present, and we can face tomorrow. Because he lives. Why? Because we are now a resurrection people. The reality of the resurrection has so captivated us and taken a hold of us that we now live with the confidence and the optimism that there is nothing that we're going through that God cannot resurrect. So today, I begin 25 years, my 25th year as pastor of this church. And it's only by God's grace, only by God's grace. I'm sure you have a pretty difficult job. But unless you've been a pastor, no matter the size of the church, big or small, you don't really know just how hard it is to be a pastor. There have been times in these last 24 years that, you know, as a pastor, you get discouraged, you get a little down, and sometimes you wonder, man, maybe it'd be easier if I went and worked at, you know, McDonald's or something. I have many flaws, and I'm certainly not perfect, and you know that about me. But one of my strengths that I believe I received from my parents is my faith in God. I have a strong faith in God. And I do live with this optimism that there is nothing that God cannot do. And I don't think you can be a pastor and not have that. Because if I did not have that, I would have quit ministry a long time ago. And I can begin this 25th year with confidence and with optimism about our church, that there is nothing that our church will not face tomorrow or the next day or the next month or the next year or 25 years from now that God cannot redeem. Amen? Because I do my very best to live with this resurrection optimism, especially as a pastor, and I think about our church and I pray for our church, and I say, you know, Lord, what event in the life of our church tomorrow are you going to redeem? What person in our community or in our church are you going to restore? And Lord, I live with this belief and this optimism that what situation, Lord, are you going to be able to resurrect? That's how you know that you're living as a resurrection person. That you view every situation that you're dealing with, every person, every event, every scenario, and you say, Lord, how are you going to come through this time? And here's the thing. We began our service with this. God is faithful. Amen? Amen. And he always comes through. Would you stand with me and let me close in prayer? Father, we want to live as a resurrection people. This experience that happened 2,000 years ago wants to be evented in our lives with every event that we deal with, day after day, month after month, year after year. We want to see how you are going to redeem, restore, and resurrect these events that we deal with every day. And so help us to wear these resurrection glasses. May the reality of the resurrection so compel us and give us such optimism that we live with faith, with this declaration that with God, all things are possible, that death will be defeated, and maybe even someday the Ducks will win that national championship. But with God, all things are possible. Lord, help us to live as a resurrection people. And all God's people said, amen.
Hi, I'm John Hanna, pastor of All Things Good, a church that believes in the goodness of God because God is the source of all things good. We are located on the corner of 18th and E Street in Springfield, and our Sunday morning service is 11 o'clock a.m. For more information about our church, you can visit our website at springfieldchurch.org. We look forward to meeting you, and I hope you have a great day.